at this series and this thought, what's on your mind? We've been talking about how to have our thought lives under control, because one of the greatest battlefields we have is our thought lives. This week we're going to finish up on this idea of the different things we need to realize, realizing the realization of a captured mind. We're going to start again in verse number 22, read all the way down to verse 34, but today verse 34 is going to be the main thought process of today. Acts chapter 17, verse 22, Paul standing at Mars Hill, speaking to the great philosophers of the day, at least that's what the Athens people considered themselves as. In verse 22 it says, the Bible says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you.'" So he says to him, look, this is the God you really truly do not know is the one true God. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwell not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all things the breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." What we learned about in those verses, we learned that we have a created mind. God has created all things, as saw us in verse number 24. And even in our mind, there is a set boundary of the habitation that God allows our minds the extent and the knowledge it has. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also of his offspring. And forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." And in those verses we looked at how our minds need to change. You know, some people have this perception and this understanding of God. These people in Athens had it wrong. They had multiple gods. And he says that we ought not to think. There are things in our lives that we look at and we understand that we should change our minds in the way we look at things. Verse 30, "In times of his ignorance, God winked at," speaking of the long-suffering of God, "but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent," speaking of the justice of God. "Because he hath appointed," and last week we looked at this, and the idea that there is a conscientious mind of thinking that someday we will stand before God in judgment, we will all face death, and we will all give an account of what we've done in this life. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection, we see that as we looked at last week, there are some people who will reject. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. In verse 34, we see that there were some who were captured in the idea of believing in this truth, and this is where we come up with the idea of the realization of a captured mind. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Thankful for the people that are here. I think of the many classes that are going on, Lord, from our widow ladies class to our young adult class to that discipleship type class, Lord, and those that are our children inside the different classes, all the way from the nursery all the way through our teenagers. Lord, I pray you help in each class. Help those that are out today because they're not feeling well. Lord, help those that are here today that aren't feeling the greatest too. Lord, I pray you just give us strength and help, Lord, to be able to accomplish what you want us to accomplish today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so here's our theme verses for the series. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." Now, we learned that in our thought life, in our thought minds, we have about 10,000 thoughts a day. The only way that we're going to have help here is by becoming mighty through God. It's not carnal or fleshly things, but we need to pull down the strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, The realization of a captured mind begins with this. God wants to capture our mind with the truth. Now, you think about this. There is a positive note how this chapter ends. There are some who reject, but there are some who believe. And you know what? God does want to capture our mind with the truth. See, the world and all of its influences have been in control of our minds for way too long. We've been taught through media and through our friends and through the secular sources of what we should think and how we should feel. It's time to change our minds. It's time that we bring our minds into captivity, every thought, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. We know in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, when we think about the scriptures here, it says, "Howbeit men clave unto him." And what do you mean by clave? It means that they were hungry. It means that they were open to the truth. The captured mind begins with an openness. If you really want to have your minds captured by the Word of God and the truths in the Word of God, you have to have an openness when it comes to teaching and preaching of God's Word. You have to have an openness, not being with your preconceived notions and thoughts about what the Bible says or what you think others have said about the Bible, but instead looking for the Bible and understanding the Bible and being open to what God has in store for you. Verse 34 speaks of some that clave unto him. It means that they were open to the truth that Paul was preaching. They were hungry. They wanted more. They wanted to understand more. They wanted to know what the Bible had to say. Our prayer should be, and many times when I get ready to study, I say these, at least this first part, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law." When I get ready to pray, when I get ready to study my Bible, I'll say, "Lord, please open up my eyes. Lord, I want to understand the wondrous things out of thy law. I need God's help for this. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." The psalmist was saying here, "Lord, as I begin to study, my mind is open to what you want to teach me." And so many times people's minds are closed-minded to the Word of God and closed-minded to what God wants to teach them and share with them, and said they already have some ideas and thoughts that no matter what God said, if God himself came down and said something, they would not believe it because it was already ingrained in their mind. And here's the question: is your mind open to God? Just prior to his visit in Mars Hill, Paul was with a group that was called the Bereans. And in Acts 17:11, the Bible says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so." They were more nobler, not because they had more money and not because they act dignified. They were more nobler because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They were willing to look into what the scripture had to say, and they were willing to study out what the scriptures had to say to see whether or not these things were so. Next thing I want you to see, not only does a captured mind, and what does it mean by capture? It means being captured by the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. The truth begins with an openness and then continues with an obedience. Not only did these verses say in verse 34, he says that they cleave to Paul's words, but what does it say in verse number 34? It says that they believed. "Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed." It wasn't just enough to hear the Word of God. It wasn't just enough to receive what was said. They actually believed in the Word of God. This is where it becomes precious. This is when it makes a difference in our lives. This is when the precious Word of God is received, but also it is believed. The Bible says in that Proverbs 25:12, "As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon a obedient ear." Now, this is saying that as a person that receives reproof, sometimes it goes in one person's ear and goes out another ear. You might have children, some that receive reproof, some that receive correction and make changes. And then you might have other children that hear the correction and hear the reproof, and nothing's going to change them until you punish them or to you drastically have to take some sort of force to be able to stop them from doing it. And that's the difference between a person that can receive reproof with an obedient ear, understand they need to make a change and make the change. I have children like that. I have one child that if I say something, they are disappointed in the fact of themselves, and they will respond and correct by me just raising my tone of voice. And then I have another child who sometimes I'm not going to tell you which one. I know you probably think who they are. But I have another child in my house that just turns around and he has to be shown and he has to be taught over and over. The blessing of God rests with those who not only hear but obey. They must learn how to obey the word of God. And this is where you're going to find true blessing from God, is not only being open to the word of God. I think we are all here, and the reason why we come to this type of church, the reason why we will sit and listen to a preaching like we hear, is because we are open to what God's word says. And that does not bring the blessing. What truly brings the blessing is not only when we become open, we become obedient to it. What does it say in James 1:22-25? But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this is where we come at, and this is where our problem is that our minds have just been rutted in a certain place, and we think a certain way, and we, even though we hear the word of God, even though some of us say amen to the word of God, even though some of us say this is how we should live, we do not become a doer of the word. We become hearers, and we deceive ourselves thinking that hearing is enough, and that's just not enough in our Christian lives. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I know we used this illustration before. I think that you guys all look very attractive today. Well, most of you look very attractive today. But when you got up in the morning, you probably did not look the way you look now. You looked in the mirror. You saw in the mirror that maybe your hair was sticking one way or another way. Maybe you saw a spot that you need, a blemish you need to take care of. Maybe men saw that they needed to shave. Maybe there was different things that we needed to change because we saw what was in the mirror. And what the Bible is saying here is that he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What the Bible is saying, that is a person or individual who will look and see the needs and the change. That, as I mentioned to you before, I wear a lot of hairspray. The reason why I wear a lot of hairspray is because I have 5 or 6 cowlicks in my hair. If you saw me in the morning time, my hair is sticking up all over the place. Try not to imagine it. But if you looked at it and you saw it in the morning time, and I looked at that and say, hey, mine looks, I know I have a need. I don't really care. I'm just going to leave and forget and act like nobody, like act like there's nothing wrong with my hair. That's what the Bible's saying as an individual. We know that there is a change, but we forget what manner of the change we need. But whoso that looketh in the perfect law of liberty, looks into the natural face in a glass, and continueth therein. He's saying they see the need, they receive the word of God, and they obey the word of God. He continues therein, for being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. The Bible says this man, the man who hears and becomes a doer of the work, is a man who will be blessed in his deed. And sometimes I hear people say, God just doesn't speak to me anymore. I even had a person call me this past week and say, how do you know it is when God's speaking to you? I asked them if they were a Christian, and they said yes. And I asked them, he says, go over your testimony with me. And they began to tell me about the moment they got saved. He says, now why did you get saved? He says, because God spoke to my heart. And I says, can you explain that to me? And he says, not really. I says, well, if you're a Christian, you know there was a moment in time in your life when God called you to be saved and showed you your need for sin. That's God speaking to your heart. I said, and he said, well, how do you know God called you to preach? The same way he spoke to my heart about salvation, the same way that God spoke to my heart about needing to follow him and his calling. Now, sometimes I hear people say, God just does not speak to my heart anymore. And some people even blame it on the preacher's fault. They say, that must be the preacher's fault, because God just is. But you know what? Many times the preacher is not the problem. The problem is that we have not obeyed God the last time he spoke to us. God isn't going to show us a new truth until we are willing to obey the old truth. Now think about it this way. You teach your kids to ride a bike. You tell your kids, okay, you can only ride on the right side of the road, and you got to stay this far away from the center of the road, or you got to stay on the grass. Now, if you go out and you see your kids and they're riding all around, they're not listening to you, when they want to drive your car, are you going to let them drive it? I don't think so. You're not going to let them drive your car because they wouldn't listen when you were supposed to teach them how to ride a bike. Now, it's the same way with God. God shows and demonstrates things to us and teaches us things in his words, and he wants us to learn. And many times the reason why we do not get the new truth that we are desiring from God is because we have not learned to obey the message he gave us to begin with. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Christian, the reason why we have to really, it was created by God. There is a change that needs to happen. And it is becoming conscientious of the fact that someday we will die and that someday we will stand before God. But now, as our mind is captured with the truth, let us not just be open to the truth, but become obedient to the truth also. The next thing is the captured mind accumulates in an ownership. It accumulates in an ownership. You go back to verse number 34. It says, "Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed among them, which was Dionysus and Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them." Now these two converts from the preaching of the word of God may not seem significant. They're certainly not household names. They are probably people that we would not say and preach many sermons about. But the interesting thing about this is that their minds were open to the truth. As we saw, they obeyed the truth. Now they own the truth. So what do you mean they own the truth? It becomes theirs. This is where when a brainwash truly takes place. We talk about brainwashing, how some people accuse us of trying to brainwash individuals. And I told you before that the fact that the way our minds are so dirty because of the culture and so dirty because of things are, we need to let God's word brainwash us and clean up our minds. The word of God changes the mind so the wrong thinking of the past is replaced by right thinking. And this is what we desire, is that we're thinking wrong and God wants to replace what we've been thinking and replace it with something that's right. Our minds are affected by our manners. Remember that we've mentioned that earlier, that how we think is what we become. The two converts on the preaching on the Mars Hill did not seem significant. They are certainly not household names, but it's interesting. You see that others with them. These two individuals opened their mind, they obeyed the truth, and now own it in such a way that they make an impact on others. When a person becomes brainwashed, as we mentioned just a second ago, our minds affect our manners. So if our manners are ever going to change, our minds have to change first. If anything's ever going to change about us, our minds must change first in the way that we look at them. He continues, it says, when right thinking takes place, right living will follow. And that's why the Bible says this is the key. Some people say, how in the world can I ever clean up my mind? How in the world can I ever get things right? And this is the idea here, is wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's the answer. How can I get my mind and my thinking right, my life right? It's by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The Bible says if you want to clean your life up, take heed according to the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. These are the truths. It becomes to the point where we own word of God and it becomes important to us, and we understand that what's taking place is right in front of us, that we need God's help to watch our brain. And the Bible says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And we got to remember here that what's success in God's eyes? Hearing God's word causes us to meditate on it, which leads us to the doing of it, which produces God's success. God's formula for a changed life starts with a changed mind. And then we become conscientious of God and the things. And then we put it that it becomes, accumulates with an ownership. We own the truth. Where does the Bible use the word success at? I think it's the only spot in all the Bible you see this word success. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. When are we going to have success? Is when we know the word of God, when we meditate on the word of God, and then when we choose to do the word of God. It's being open to it, it's being willing to be obedient of it, and then it's when we own it by making it our own way. That's when God says we have success. Does God need to wash our brain with soap? Have you ever been asked that question about washing your mouth out with soap before? That never happened to me. It's just not because I didn't need it. I probably needed it, but it never ever happened to me. But do we need to have our brains washed with soap? And the Bible says, how does that happen? Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And there's a lot of so-called open minds who ought to be closed for cleaning. That's not mine, but I thought that was good. So many people out there says you need to have an open mind. Well, their minds are so perverted and so dirty that they're open to everything but God's word. We not only need to be open to God's word, we must be obedient to God's word. And as we become obedient, it becomes our thinking. It becomes our words. So let's look here at this next thing. Let's see here. Open mind versus closed mind. Open mind versus closed mind. Now, here's the thought with this. I'm never ever, I heard a story, so this is not me personally, but I heard a story one time when a gentleman was a visiting preacher. He was going home to a place, guy's house, and as they were driving up into the driveway of this large house and large property, there was horses all over the front yard. The guy then takes off in his car and rides really, really fast to the gate, and he says, "Who left the gate open?" And the story goes on telling him that someone had to open up, left the gate open and cause all the horses to come and become free. And they had to get all the horses and take them all in. And the stipulation that this man brought and the thought that this man brought with this idea was, you know, these horses need, this corral needed to have a gate. There were times when the gate needed to be open and there were times when the gate needed to be closed. And the truth is, when it comes to our mind, there are times when our mind needs to be open, and there's times when our minds need to be closed. The Bible says in Romans 16:19, "But yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." The Apostle Paul was writing to this church of Rome, and he was saying to this church of Rome, "I know you're surrounded by all this wickedness. I know you're surrounded with all these different evil things that you can partake in." He says, "But this is what I want you to understand, and this is what I want your mind to be open to. I want you to get open and wise unto that which is good. I want you to be open. I want you to obey God's word. I want you to make this God's word your word. But when it comes to the wicked things, I want you to be, those things that are evil, I want you to be simple. I don't want you to have knowledge of it." The Bible speaks of in Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, that by following instruction, and there are things that certain instruction we need to follow and certain instruction we need to ignore. Look what it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." He's saying, look, you're going to be blessed, you're going to be happy if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If you don't stand in the way of sinners, if you don't sit in the seat of scornful, that's when you're going to be blessed. But your mind needs to be open to the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. This is where our mind needs to be closed to, the ungodly, the sinners, the seed of the scornful, but our minds need to be open to the word of God. Look what it says in Jeremiah 4:22. It says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They have sottish, they are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." And it's amazing to me that there are Christians out there that know everything when it comes to certain secular things. I use this illustration with my sons and talking to them. Boy, they love sports. They love talking about who won this and who won that and who had this many points, who had this many points. But it's a shame that when he can sit there and have so much knowledge about things that are secular and cannot know anything about the Word of God. And that's where the nation of Israel came. They came to the spot where they had no understanding about the good things, but they had a lot of understanding about where they're using the word evil here about secular things. And I said this yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast. I said, it's amazing about how many people know about the actors, about the movies, and about the latest gossip. But if someone came in and put a gun to your head and said, quote the books of the Bible in order, they'd be gone. Because of fact, they wouldn't even know the books of the Bible. They have so much knowledge when it comes to so many other things, when it comes to the things that really don't matter in this life. But when it comes to the good things, when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to making the Word of God our own, it accumulates. It comes to the point where we open to it and then we obey it. It becomes our own. That's what the Word of God is saying here. He says, they are wise to do evil. If you want to learn how to be great at the stock market, or if you want to learn how to get around your taxes, or if you want to learn how to do this with, and I even said yesterday, he says, there's good things that you can know. I mean, you can waste your time doing good things about how to invent or how to make, and there's nothing wrong with some of the things that we said. But when it takes the place of knowing the Word of God, who really cares if we know how to do certain things that we'll never ever do or never ever experience when we don't even know the Word of God? So we need to be careful to make sure that we have the knowledge to do good, because the Bible says here in Jeremiah, they are none understanding, they are wise to do evil. And we got some men in here and ladies in here that are very wise in certain areas. And I'm thankful for that. There's people I go to for that. But at other times, they have no clue of how to do what's right. They have no understanding of what the Bible teaches here. So as we close up on this one, in this lesson, are we making this our own? The Word of God, we must be open to it. Not only must we be open to it, we must be obedient to it. Not only do we make it obedient to it, we make it our own. Make it something that we can demonstrate. It says those people with them, meaning that we can pass it along to other people. It's the Word of God, not only ours, is ours, and we know how to help others. Be honest with you, how many of us know so much about a certain area or something, but do not know much about the Word of God? That's probably truth in a lot of churches today. I hope it's not true here. I think we get Bible teaching and preaching and we get understanding. But the truth is we must be careful to make sure that we're wise for the important things, not just for those things that don't really matter. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer.